Oh, hello, I didn't see you there. This is Dr. Thaddeus Venture, and you're listening to the Long Box Guys. Whatever that means.
What are the Long Box Guys going to do tonight, Brain?
The same thing the Long Box Guys do every night, Peaky. Drink and talk about comics. They're useless at taking over the world. Yes!
Hey, everybody! Welcome to this week's episode of The Long Box Guys. Almost said something else. I almost did, but it... Josh, how you doing tonight? What are you drinking, pal?
I'm doing pretty good, and I'm having a Tornado Pale Ale from my favorite treehouse.
Tornado.
It's delicious.
Tommy, I don't know what you're drinking yet, but I'm going to guess it's not from Kentucky. What you got there, buddy?
I am drinking some Great King Street by Compass Box Scotch. That's right, made in Scotland, not Kentucky.
So damn right.
Bastards can go to hell until they get rid of Mitch McConnell.
Way to take a stand, buddy.
Yeah, and from everyone in Scotland, you can just call it whiskey.
Yep. We just called them shepherds here in Germany.
Called them shepherds.
Mikey, how you doing? What are you drinking?
I'm doing fine, and I am drinking a Central Coast Company 805 from Firestone Brewing.
Firestone Brewing, the best brewing company named after a tire. And I, my friend, have, once again, Thompson's Water Seal, one of the best scotches going all the way back to the 1920s. That's right, Prohibition-era stuff. Speaking of the 1920s and stuff that has gone out of date, Holyoke Comics, or Holyoke Publishing, I should say. Today we're going to be talking about a little-known comic book company that has a lot of characters that are now free to use because they've all let the, you know, everything, you know,
they're in the public domain.
Public domain. They've aged out of the system.
Yeah. Thank you very much for saving me there, Mike. I just could not remember public domain. And some of the characters were kind of fun. Mike, do you know a little bit about the Holyoke Publishing Company?
Well, if you listened to last week's episode, I brought it into the front of the long box. But just a quick little history. Holyoke Publishing, out of Holyoke, Massachusetts, also was responsible for the local newspapers in Holyoke and in Springfield, Massachusetts. They expanded their empire into comic books. They took over Fox Publishing's comic book line when Fox declared bankruptcy, but those characters were later purchased by Charleston Comics and then later again acquired by DC Comics, which is why Blue Beetle was one of Holyoke's characters, but is no longer and not part of the public domain. But all these other characters, for all you aspiring writers, they are available for you to take and steal and use however you wish.
But be careful, because some of them have a very troubling past, as we will go into tonight. Digging a little deeper into one of the first characters that caught my eye, I found out that there's a couple of problems with the character.
What?
Tommy, you want to start off with the one that caught your eye first?
Well, I read some of the Blue Beetle comics in getting ready for this, and it's very different than the DC comics. In the Blue Beetle comics of yesteryear, he was just a cop who would don this Blue Beetle outfit and just kind of fight crime and avoid other cops because the other cops were after him.
Yeah.
If it sounds strikingly like Night Owl from the Watchmen series, it's because it was. That's who they stole. Alan Moore wasn't allowed to use Blue Beetle, so he changed it to Night Owl.
Yeah, he wanted to use a lot of the Charlton characters, but they said kind of at the last minute that he had to change all those, correct?
Yeah, because they had paid some money for him, and they didn't like what was going to happen to him in The Watchmen. So they were like, just make ones exactly like it, just change the names.
Yeah. Change that name for the
no character wants to get Alan Moore'd.
Yeah.
Well, one thing interesting about that Blue Beetle character is he has belonged to so many different houses. So Holyoke, Charlton, DC, anybody else?
Fox,
yeah. I mean, we can come up with a couple of other characters that have skipped houses more, but those are like old public domain ones. I'm sure Dracula and Frankenstein have been published over, you know, different publishing houses all over the place. I mean, if we really want to get into it. But when it comes to a superhero that we all kind of know, I think that's probably the one that might have gone through the most.
And has the most staying power as far as superheroes go.
That's true. He's really, you know, stayed in there. He's in there still a fighting and a fussing. Though he's gone through a lot. Like, the Flash went from, you know, magic to science, made a pretty seamlessly. The Blue Beetle's gone through way more than that. His current thing is, you know, more alien cyborg hooked to a teenager than anything else.
Well, actually, not in the current Rebirth one. I believe that Dr. Fate was like, oh, fuck, that's... Everybody thinks that's an alien scarab. That's actually a very powerful evil magic artifact. He's gone back to magic, is what I'm saying.
Ooh, excellent. I like that. Josh, which was the first one to catch your eye there?
So for me, I was looking at Dr. Diamond.
Neat one, yeah.
So the first thing I thought of when I saw the magic diamond giving the guy superpowers is, of course, Juggernaut, the Ruby of Sidorak. Dr. Diamond is not nearly as strong as Juggernaut, but the diamond does give him the power of 50 men.
That's a lot of men.
That's a lot of dudes. That's some super strength for back in the day. The other thing I noticed about Dr. Diamond, and I don't want to reach out and say he's a slacker, but in every picture I found of Dr. Diamond, his boxers, his superhero boxers, are wrinkled as fuck. Like, this guy can't find a clean pair of underwear to fight crime in. I don't know if maybe he just didn't know how to iron back then, but someone also told him that a blue pair of boxer shorts and a red bib was appropriate crime fighting gear because he's basically naked except for the wrinkled blue boxers and the red bib. So I'm guessing he is both a sloppy eater. He doesn't know how to iron. This guy is domestically challenged. He's probably, as far as I can tell, the most domestically challenged character I've seen in a while.
Josh, he's got 50 men down there.
No, having had 50 men down there is different than being as strong as 50 men, LT. You got to separate the bus station from the hero.
And also, no day was leg day for the diamond.
No, absolutely not.
No, the diamond was not going into leg day at all. He was like, screw that.
No, and I don't even see him. Like, they don't have any like academic record for him. I'm not sure how he became the doctor. So really, I think the whole thing is just a muddle for me. But I really do. I don't know who was drawing this guy, but the wrinkled blue shorts was consistent throughout.
Yeah, it kind of looks. Yeah.
I don't get it. I don't get it. But good luck, Dr. Diamond.
All right, so I'm going to jump over to my favorite one, which I thought I was really interested in. I thought, why don't we make another one of this? Why didn't she come up? And that's the Black Venus. Now, the Black Venus is she was a stripper in Paris. Oh, very sexy right off the bat, right? Very cool. World War II breaks out. She has this Parisian lover who's killed by a Japanese emissary named Yamamoto. And Yamamoto finds a way to kill off her Parisian lover because he wants to steal her. She becomes so enraged that she vows to kill every Japanese person she fucking comes across. So, she's not taking out her revenge on the Japanese military. She's not taking out her revenge on Japan. She's not fighting in World War II. She hates Japanese people. Yes, she has a very unique set of skills, and she's not afraid to use them. She does finally catch up with Yamamoto and kill him in a very unique way. He tries to seduce her during a dinner date, and she grinds the lenses of her glasses down into small, sharp shards, drops them in his drink, and he shit bleeds himself to death. A horrible way to go, by the by. And she wants to do this to every Japanese person she comes across.
It's a lot of glass.
It's a lot of glass, buddy.
I'd totally be you to that.
Another kind of fun thing is that she has a secret identity, but a lot of people know what it is.
So she has an other identity.
She has another identity.
A nom de guerre.
But most people kind of like, oh, but you're also that stripper, right? Because you wear the same costume and your name is, Betty.
wait for it's Betty, right?
That's actually one of the comics I came across, one of the panels. One of the guys realizing, wait. Betty, I know you from Paris. You're a stripper. Yeah, that's me. I'm also the Black Venus. And, yeah. Mike, did you want to do one? Okay, LT.
So, another one of my favorite characters that I came across was the Deacon and Mickey.
The Deacon and the Mickey! Deacon. Mike throws a finger in the air! Like you just don't care! Mike wanted to do the Deacon, but he's got too much noise going on in the background.
Well, Mikey said skip him, so I'm taking the Deacon.
Why the fuck is the sidekick named Dickie, by the way? Wait, why Dickie?
The Deacon is
and Dickie.
Ex-safecracker who is reformed and has a secret identity as the Deacon. He fights crime dressed as a religious character known as the Deacon with his sidekick, Mickey.
Oh, I thought you said Dickie.
No, Mickey.
Dickie's funnier.
Dickie is funnier. Dickie is probably a little more apropos for today's times, but not until the 40s.
Any superpowers?
Nope. So his secret identity is putting on a priest collar.
That kind of reminds me of one of your favorite ones from
Astro.
Yeah, Astro City. Yeah, that was.
But the confessor, at least, he was a vampire, so he could kind of hide his, his true face.
You son of a bitch.
Wow.
What, Mike, gotcha.
Mike, did you do the Deacon? Did you read any of the Deacon?
If our fans want to read some of these comics, they're actually available for free because they're public domain on digitalcomicmuseum.com. There's a whole section on Holyoke Publishing, so you can just go through and read them. I did like the Deacon only because he ties in to my favorites, which is Catman and Kitty. Drink.
Wait, you were going to steal his Catman? You knew he wanted to do Catman. He loves cats.
Well, he's...
But it tied into the Deacon.
Yeah, Kitty is friends with Deacon.
Yeah.
And they have a crossover, which is one of the first crossovers of the Golden Age.
Ooh, neat.
And the thing I love about Catman, again, we talked about him briefly last week. If they took Batman and Tarzan and combined them, they get Catman. And instead of having Robin, he's got Kitty. Kitty is an 11-year-old girl, orphan, because all...
Mike, it's Kitten.
I'm sorry, Kitten. Kitten is an 11-year-old orphan. However, her uncle is mean and was using her for crime, and so Catman rescues her. And as heroes are wont to do, they adopt any orphan they find and put them in mortal danger every week after that for the rest of their lives. Kitten, as far as I know, is the first female sidekick.
Okay. I'd buy that.
So
I think she had a thing for Mickey.
So later on in, because it's public domain comics, she does appear in some Comico comics, and in which that storyline, she dies and Catman gives her one of his 9 lives. And so she gets reborn, but she gets reborn as a fully formed female adult, but with the mind of an 11-year-old. And it is just, it's horrible. It's just horrible.
Sounds horrible.
Because he was reading a Green Lantern comic and jerking off going, hey, let's do this storyline again.
They eventually hooked up and got married. Yeah.
That is
not good. That is horrible.
Yeah. I mean, Catman, the dude, 3 issues into his career, he was already down to 7 lives. Can you trust that guy? Yeah.
He wasn't good at his job.
And he wasn't good. Thank God he had 9 lives or he wouldn't even made it to 34 issues.
Yeah.
He would have made it issue 2.
Issue 2.
He was dead in issue 2.
And Catman and Kitten were also part of Project Superpowers and Dynamite Entertainment Comics. So they've had a resurgent a few times. But, yeah. I'm sorry. I said Comico. It was AC Comics.
Do you know why Catman and Kitten both died in that limo accident?
No sprinklers in the back.
There was no sprinkler in the back. Can you believe it?
I can believe it.
Son, sprinkler. I can believe that. There was no sprinkler.
Yeah, of course. Whose car has a sprinkler system? Yeah. I mean, crazy talk.
Josh, who's your next pick, buddy?
I've actually got a villain, and mostly I picked this villain, Tom, because it's what I'm going to call your dog from now on. So his name is now Vulture's Claw.
Vulture's Claw.
Because Vulture's Claw's real name is Baron Von Tug.
I might just start calling him Baron Von Tug.
He's also getting that nickname too. But every once in a while, he's going to be Vulture's Claw.
That's what I call my penis. Baron Von
Vulture's
Tug.
Vulture's Claw?
No, Baron Von Tug.
That would have been a really strange coincidence. So Baron Von Tug was the greatest Nazi fighter pilot of World War II, and his plane gets shot down, and his hand is crushed in the accident. And for some reason, they decide to save his life and give him a vulture's claw instead of a hand. They have the technology to replace his hand, but they decide for some reason to replace it with a vulture's claw because someone was like, that sounds cool.
Quick question, guys. Did you have a hand also?
No.
Totally had hands. We had like a whole bucket of heads. You're like, fuck that.
Meanwhile, a bunch of vultures are in the corner of the room just lying on their side like, fuck
you. No, they're all just hopping. Yeah. They took one each.
So he's covered in scars, blind in one eye. He's got a vulture's claw for one hand. And I was just like, I was enthralled by the Vulture's Claw decision. Like, I just want to see – I really wanted to find the line of thought that gave him the Vulture's Claw. But I just can't – it's inscrutable. But I do want to call your dog Baron Von Tug from now on, or at least Vulture's Claw. And basically, he's just a guy in a ripped – they didn't even replace his uniform apparently because in almost all the things, he's just in this ripped up Nazi uniform with the Vulture's Claw. So greatest pilot ever. We owe him a lot for our country. We're going to chop your hand off, replace it with a claw, and we're not going to give you a new uniform. But good luck. Good luck out there.
He tears apart the uniform every day when he puts it on. He's got a vulture's claw.
He starts with a new uniform every day, Josh, you monster.
Buttons with a vulture's claw.
I did not take that into consideration, LT, and I rescind that part. That is absolutely the correct answer. That is the number one answer on the board.
Who was he a villain of? Was it Captain Arrow or the Sky Scouts or who was it?
Oh, it's Hood.
The Hood. Oh, all right.
He was the Hood villain.
Were you going to do the Hood next there, Mikey?
I was not. That would have been awesome if I was.
That would have been great. Great boy, yeah. I tell you what.
Yeah. Look at us go.
Now, my number two was Mighty Mite.
Mighty, good one. All right.
That's right. Mighty Mite, the master of men and enemy of crime. It is a short dude in red boxer shorts, a blue shirt, and a red cape who gets invited to a costume party, decides to go as Mighty Mite, shows up. There are robbers breaking into the place. He makes his announcement that he's a hero, steps in, sees the robbers, and passes out of fear. They steal his girlfriend. They get away. Apparently, they're kidnappers also. And he's so embarrassed, and everybody is mocking him, that he goes after the bad guys. And through a series of misfortunate accidents, a la Home Alone style by the criminals, this guy ends up beating them and then goes on to continue to be a superhero for 7 more issues of Captain Arrow.
Neat. That's all I can say about that one.
Yeah.
Neat.
So, Mikey, neat. Did you read any of the Captain Arrow comics?
I did not. I just love Mighty Might.
So I read some of the Captain Arrow comics. It was interesting. So he was a World War II character, and he was obviously a pilot, and he was just basically a, you know, World War II flying ace. And it was just kind of interesting to read. They were very one-dimensional, always trying to, you know, help out the Axis power, I mean, the Allied powers against the Axis in the most absurd ways. You know, he would take on an entire squadron of Stukas and win, basically just destroying his enemies regardless of how outnumbered he was and whatever the odds, even though he had no superpowers or anything.
Sounds good.
Glad he was on our side.
Damn right.
Yeah.
Another kind of interesting character from this is Mr. Nobody. Did anyone else look into Mr. Nobody?
I couldn't find anything about Mr. Nobody.
Coincidence?
I found a couple of things, and he does try to erase himself from existence. So the fact that you couldn't find anything is actually pretty apropos. Mr. Nobody didn't even have a physical body. So much like the character that we normally associate with Mr. Nobody in the Doom Patrol universe, Mr. Nobody was a voiceless, he was a bodiless entity that manipulated things from behind the scenes using hypnosis, mind control, telekinesis, magic, trickery, chicanery. They actually give him a pretty long list of powers. Immortality, invisibility, mesmerism, teleportation. But you never really see his real body, and no one really knows if he actually exists. That's why he's Mr. Nobody. He's behind the scenes taking down criminals by making them act against their will to thwart each other and themselves during robberies. Kind of hard to get behind a superhero we can't see.
You can get behind him, but, you know. You
might not be behind him, though.
I might be behind him right now. We don't know. Ooh, freaky. It's just hard for me. It's like if the not the spirit.
Do you think the guy drawing the comic was just like, I got no idea for a costume.
I can't do
fuck
feet.
It.
Fuck
it. He's Rob Liefeld. Is this a floating couch on a pectoral?
Last character I had, all I could come up with was really lumpy trunks, and no one fucking liked it. And I put a bib on him. Like, everyone was like, what the fuck's the bib for? Then I put a bunch of
bib
pockets on him, and no one liked that shit either. So I said, fuck it. So it reminds me a lot of the Spectre. The Spectre never showed his face. That's kind of what it was like. He didn't have quite that kind of power, but it was a little bit like that. Anybody else have one from Holyoke?
Yeah, so I had Strongman.
Strongman!
Son of a bitch, drink! That was my last one.
So Strongman is they basically put a Batman and Superman in a blender and came up with Strongman, leaning towards Superman on the outfit design but he is a listless playboy by day and a superhero by night. He has the strength of 100 elephants, not 50 men like Dr. Diamond. 100 elephants.
But what's his speed like?
I think is it a race car?
Yes.
Yeah.
But his skin. How tough is his skin?
His skin is as tough as a rhino's hide. Yeah, so basically he can be gunned down at any time.
Poachers took out Strongman.
Poachers took out Strongman.
I would love to see that headline. 1940s, Hey, Mr. and Mrs. America and all the ships at sea, Flash, poachers have taken out Strongman.
So here's my favorite thing about Strongman, I have to say. Yeah. Just a head on the wall.
They might have taken out him in a race car.
They might have taken out Mr. Nobody, too. We don't fucking know.
There's Mr. Strongman's head on one plaque, and then there's just an empty plaque right next to that's Mr. Nobody. Oh, my God. I think we've got a – I have got the perfect mashup for us.
I have a new Etsy shop.
We are going to do a comic book superhero movie with all these public domain heroes, and it's going to be a slasher movie. And the villain just has all these guys' heads along the wall, including Mr. Nobody.
Thanks. I like this. I'm in.
I'm in.
Don't Black twist. Venus says it was probably a dirty Jap.
Wow.
Hey, I'm just quoting Miss. Hey, Mr. Miss America, wow. I'm just quoting Black Venus.
Yeah.
Dominatrix, you thought something good was going to happen, but nah.
She's just too full of hate.
So, my favorite thing about Strongman, so he's basically the twist and turns of Superman and Batman, right? But to one-up Superman, okay, so this is Strongman premieres in 1940, Superman 38, Batman 39, and Strongman one-ups Superman because his only disguise between his superhero persona and his public persona is a monocle, not even glasses. He fucking shows Kent how to hide in plain sight. He puts the monocle on. The monocle.
It's so much easier. He doesn't need hands to take off his disguise. He just to open up one eye.
It does make your face all scrunchy.
It does make it scrunchy on one side. I'll give him that. Yeah. The monocle.
The monocle.
I'm totally in disguise. I'm wearing the monocle.
Superheroes in disguise, monocle. Well, I had one more myself, and that is Blackout, Master of the Night. Appearing in Catman number 10, by the way. So,
and like three lies at that point?
Yeah. He's like, I might need a sidekick. Let's get with Blackout. So picture, if you will, a guy being tortured with whips in a Nazi dungeon. Two guys, actually. Ooh,
slow down. Set the stage a little bit for me.
All right. Yeah. It's dark and stormy night.
Can you get your voice a little huskier, maybe?
Yeah. Everyone's wearing super tight Gestapo uniforms. It's just after Schadenbach-Kaiser Fest, so everyone's a little high. And these two guys are just getting ripped up by whips. One guy dies. He's whipped to death in front of the other guy.
That's why it's important to remember the safe word.
Shaka-zaka-saka-flack! Nope. God damn it. Susan? Nope.
Nope. Gestop no?
So they keep torturing this other guy. They flick out one of his eyes. They damage the other eye. They're still torturing him. And somehow he slithers out of his chains, slither, escapes and makes it to the lab of Dr. Dismal. Now, you would think with a name like Dr. Dismal, he went from the fucking frying pan into the fire, right?
Right, not a good doctor.
Right.
Definitely.
Is he a good doctor? No. It would be called Dr. Good Doctor. Yeah. Dr. Dismal. But Dr. Dismal, it turns out, is ex-Gestapo who has changed his ways. He was also tortured by the same guys before so badly that now he has to have a metal plate for a head. And his hunchback sidekick has a twisted, deformed smile because they whipped so much flesh from the bone of his face.
Oh, he's ex-Gestapo. What a relatable, redeemable character.
Absolutely. But he saves this guy and he gives him special goggles that allows him to see a little bit better by focusing the light into his eyes. Now, I've read like five different times trying to figure out what a little better is. The guy's totally blind, but with these special goggles, he sees a little better. What's a little better if you're totally blind?
I believe that would be Josh's dad's.
Maybe. Okay, fine. So Josh's dad decides he's going to start fighting Nazis.
Yeah.
My dad does fight Nazis.
That tracks.
He does fight Nazis. Your dad's awesome. So he has these special goggles on, and he can fight in near total darkness. He can see slightly better in total darkness than everyone else can see in total darkness. That's kind of the plus.
Well, if nobody can see in total darkness, so if he can see slightly better in total darkness, he's the only one who can see anything.
That's right. He sees a little bit in total darkness. Like, if they're fighting in broad daylight, he's still, like, half blind.
But in total darkness.
But in total darkness, he's got your ass.
He's got you. He can see you.
When did this guy come out?
The second I got it right here for you.
42.
What was your guess?
42.
42, right on the money there.
Okay.
His real name is Jack Wayne.
So he's a ripoff of Dr. Midnight.
Kinda.
Yeah.
If we're playing the who came first, it definitely was not.
Well, totally different origins. I will give you that.
Yeah, that's.
We didn't get the sadomasochistic weird. Gestapo.
If William Moulton Marston created the character.
Everybody's entitled to their own origin story.
His main villain was the Vixen of the Skies, known as the Valkyrie.
Also,
an enemy of Catman. Just saying.
Well,
yeah.
Valkyrie got around.
I'm really shocked. I am surprised that you didn't choose Miss Espionage as one of your guys, Tom.
And why is that, my friend? Why are you surprised?
Well, first, if you look at a picture of Miss Espionage, she looks, again, like a dominatrix, which I guess is a theme. She was trained by Mata Hari. Actually, she's the daughter of Mata Hari. And starts off working for the Nazis during World War II. But then Professor von Bruno betrays her, and she swears to fight for justice and against tyranny after that.
Aww,
so she doesn't just hate Germans in general.
Another completely redeemable character.
I am not going to say she's not grinding up glass and putting it in people's drinks, but...
But...
She probably is.
Probably is. It's close.
Any superpowers besides super espionage?
Nope. But she is an excellent athlete and is trained how to speak both German and English.
Oh, bilingual. Ooh, superpower number one.
She is basically every European.
Yeah.
Most of the world except America.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why we view it as a superpower.
That's what you meant when you said European, because you're American too. Yeah. And it's America and probably Europe and some other things. Yeah. We don't know. We're not going there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If it was so good, why are we the melting pot?
That damn right. Speaking of which, ever since coronavirus hit, no one's said shit about Brexit. We still doing that? Is that on the table?
No, that's England. We're not doing that at all.
Yeah, we're not. Okay. That's not us.
It's not us? I don't know what's going on. Anybody else have any other? There's a few others. There's a long list, but anyone else do any deep dives in any other ones?
No, but I just wanted to say I could have been bilingual if only they had chosen Swedish as the international language of aviation, which they almost did.
Why Swedish, Christian? Why not German?
Apparently Swedish is like really, Mike. The U.S. military ranks the difficulty of learning a language.
Yes. English is five. Like
English is it's like Chinese and English are the only fives, right?
Yeah, because of the different characters and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. So Swedish is a one.
Oh.
Yeah, along with Spanish. And most of the Romance languages are ones.
Yeah. And Swedish is apparently, they're like, it's the easiest language to learn.
Easier than Esperanto?
I try not to make judgment calls.
Has anyone watched the movie? No, the movie they made in Esperanto, starring, of course, James T. Kirk.
No.
No.
It's an action movie. It's out there. They made one movie. It's everyone's favorite captain running around like in a cave or something and speaking Esperanto. As Baron von Esperanto. I'm sorry, that was weird and tangential. I did not mean to get us off on that. Josh, you got a tangent for us?
I mean, I think I already inadvertently kicked us off on one with the Swedish, but I'm trying to think. Mike, I think you're the only, well, even relatively bilingual person here, right?
Tom speaks a little Deutsch.
I have 2 years of sign language, and I got it by on it a couple times this last couple of months. I had someone come into my food bank, only been sign language. I was able to help them out. I would say I wouldn't say I'm fluent, but I'm okay. And my German, I usually get by in German. Sprechen Sie langsam, sprechen Sie Deutsch. Langsam, 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 bitte, bitte.
You would consider yourself bilingual?
Almost in sign language, not in German.
I wouldn't consider myself bilingual at all. If I was going to have a conversation with somebody in Czech, they would be like, oh, that guy's trying real hard. Every Czech person I've talked to, even if I speak to them in Czech, they're like, oh, that's great that you learned Czech. That's awesome. Where'd you learn it? And they're speaking to me in English because yeah. I am not conjugating shit. I am like, meat like dog.
So yeah. even when
but that's the great thing about sign language. There's no linkage. It's all me like dog. That's dog, by the way. Sorry.
You realize they can't see you, right?
I know! But they can hear me slapping my thigh for dog, because that's dog.
They don't know what you're slapping?
And
badass.
And the deaf person can't hear you slapping it either.
Yeah.
Good point. But you have to do it. Sorry. I'm a very kinetic learner. I needed to get a second language to get my history degree. And I was having a hell of a time in Spanish. I'm just not good at languages. And then I had a teacher who was deaf teaching a history class, and she also taught sign language. And she taught this history class without speaking much at all. She would sign a lot of it and put slides up. And I found her very engaging and interesting enough that I took her sign language classes. I ended up taking 2 years. And I even did a couple of shifts in a pizza place in San Francisco that was all by people who are hearing impaired. And that's the only way you can put in orders with sign language. It was really interesting being the only non-hearing impaired person there. But I guess I would have to say I wouldn't say I'm fluent either. But I do try real hard.
I mean, academically, the most I've taken is Japanese. And then having gone to Japan, really my skill level was enough to discern numbers. I was pretty decent with numbers, so I could tell what people were charging me or trying to charge me for things at least. And I was like being okay with that. Yeah. So I got to – so we had been down in Okinawa for a while, and then finally got up into Tokyo. We got to a hotel.
Hold
it's a
on.
Gorgeous
I'm
hotel.
Sorry. Tom really wants to make a Jew joke right now.
Yeah, I get it. I know.
Okay.
I can see it.
All right, sorry.
He can hold – Baron von Tug can hold his can hold the denomination joke. So we get to the hotel, and there are – we all know, Tom. Let's not pretend that the audience –
it's low-hanging fruit. Come on.
We're podcasters. Come on. Oh, God. Yeah. Very inexpensive low-hanging fruit. And we get to the hotel. And
you would know.
I would know. Some very strange juxtapositions in Japan for what things cost – sometimes what costs a lot in the U.S. doesn't cost a lot in Japan and vice versa. So we're in what's considered a luxury hotel, which in any major city in the U.S. would be like a middle-of-the-road price. It was like $230 a night, which like you're not even going to find that in New York City. But there were like luxury cars like Benzes and luxury cars out front, and this is where everyone was staying. And then I walked into the hotel bar, and they had Guinness, and I was super excited because, you know, Japan, like a lot of the other places, just have very light beers in general. And so I got in there, I got my Guinness, the guy told me how much it was, and while I was about, got about halfway through the Guinness when I realized it was $21 for a glass, for a pint of Guinness.
How many did you have?
That's all I got. What? I had like three of them.
Still had three. Still good had man.
When I was in Morocco, I was trying to learn French, and so I would talk to the bellman and the people in the hotel, just to practice my French every day. I'd greet them and talk to them briefly. And one day, the nicest doorman you'll ever want to meet says, "French is not your language. You should learn." And he's speaking to me in English because, of course, everybody talks to me in English because they know I'm a stupid American, but they appreciate my effort. And he's like, "I'm going to teach you Arabic greetings. It'll be much easier for you." And so he taught me a bunch of Arabic greetings. And every time I came to the door, he would open the door. I would greet him with the appropriate greeting. He'd be like, "Yes, no more French."
Nice. Tommy, you haven't spoken up any
stories, anyway?
So I took 3 years of French in high school. And
with what teacher?
Mrs. Spear.
Yeah.
In my third year, during one of my oral examinations, Mrs. Spear was telling me how I had a much better grasp of the language that year, and I had absolutely no idea what she was saying.
With someone translated for you later.
And I decided at that point that it was time for me to get out of French class and not take any more.
Hey, man, this is Kevin Smith, Silent Bob from all those terrible Jay and Silent Bob type pictures, and you are listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box, comics talk for comics fans.
Mikey, what do you got at the front of the long box for us, buddy?
At the front of the long box, I have Flex Mentallo.
Ooh, I love Flex Mentallo.
Yes, the four issues, which has been compiled into a graphic novel by Grant Morrison. If you are not a fan of the Doom Patrol series like we all are, you probably are wondering, who the fuck is Flex Mentallo? He is a superhero who can change reality by his different flexes. Think of who is the guy that...
Terry Crews.
No, that's who he literally is. But no, who's the guy who was it? Charles Samson or Charles Atlas, right?
Yeah.
So that's the basic history. Except he learns how to alter reality by flexing. The way Morrison does the book is just amazing, and I'm not going to spoil anything. But I was literally laughing out loud reading the introduction to the fake history that they gave Flex Mentallo, who started off as a World War II golden age hero, according to Morrison's story. That's not actually the case, but in the story, yes. And so they give a biography, and it's like five pages of just hilarity. But I want to read this one section. "Frankly, I used to wish the war would never end," grins Chuck Fiasco. "I was young. I was making more money than I'd ever seen before. I was drunk, stoned every night, embeshed in the world of high-class prostitution, gambling, and black market. You want to talk about the golden age? I used to get down on my knees every night and pray that Hitler would live forever. Sadly, World War II ended in 1945, taking with it much of the reason for Manley's output. There was more trouble looming, trouble with a capital treason. We didn't expect it to go wrong," Fiasco recalls. "What happened was that towards the end, Ashley became convinced the Nazis were going to win the war, and he panicked just a little. I remember one month he came in completely hysterical and had us rewrite and redraw all of our comics. Of course, by that time, they had hit the stands. It was too late. Hitler was dead in a bunker. The Allies had won, and we were up to our necks in steaming crud. That month, July 1945, was the beginning of the end for the Manly Empire. Jap Smashers comics featured a story which the patriotic crime buster is first brutally tortured by Axis captors and then gleefully renounces the U.S. citizenship in order to assume the new costume identity, Superhero, H-I-R-O. Shocking as Jap Smasher joins the winning team was, soon eclipsed in infamy by Flex Mentallo number 41, with the fully action extravaganza, Flex Hitler, President of Earth. Based on a cover sketch for a nightmarish imaginary story, the original idea turned out on its head, and the comic that reached the newsstand was little more than a 22-page hymn to evil and bigotry. We misjudged the mood of the readership at the time.
So mistakes were made.
There were mistakes made. I fucking love that whole thought that some people right at the end of World War II were like, I really think Germany and Japan are going to pull this out. We need to hedge our bets.
We're going to soften the line a little bit here, guys.
Yeah.
John, they're not so bad.
Yeah. So Flex Mentallo is just a hilarious comic of Flex Mentallo trying to work his way back into the modern world of comic books. He just kind of appears in modern day after having been a superhero in the 1940s and disappearing soon afterwards. Of course, with all Grant Morrison stories, there's a writer involved who's probably on drugs and probably dying. But if you ignore that whole storyline, which you probably shouldn't, it's a great story of a writer struggling with his own personal demons and reflecting it in the comic books that he's writing.
That sounds great. I'm going to look forward to that. What platform did you read it on?
I read it digitally. I bought it on Comixology. It was on the cheap. So if you wait for a Grant Morrison sale, or you could read it for free on DC Universe if you have that.
I do have DC Universe. Tommy, where you got the old back of the long box there, buddy?
I have Iron Squad by Soleil and English Delcourt Comics. It's by Jean-Luc Sala and Studio Charon and Ronin Tuhut. It's an alternative history, telling of World War II, but with mechs. So everybody's got mechs. Germany has mechs. Soviets have mechs. U.S. has mechs. The Japanese have mechs. And it's just a whole different war story, but told with everybody trying to build better mechs to defeat their enemies. The Soviets try to take over this giant German mech to use it to fight off other German mechs. It was a pretty good storyline. I mean, it's no classic. It's no, you know, Watchmen, but it's not a bad war story involving different mechs if you like giant robots and mech suits. I recommend it.
I like giant robots. I like mech suits. It's all good stuff.
Yeah.
I like war stories in general. I've been collecting up some of the Batman and Sergeant Rock ones. Some of those stories are pretty fun. I've been enjoying reading those. You guys read any of those?
Oh, yeah, when I was a kid, it always confused me because, like, I go to the Gale's newsstand to pick up my comic books, and I'm like, wait, why is Batman teaming up with Sergeant Rock or the Unknown Soldier? And the answer was simple, because Bob Haney don't give a damn about continuity, and he's going to write whatever the fuck he wants to write in The Brave and Bold.
Yeah, Bob Haney ain't paying attention.
It's called moving books.
That's right. So just to bridge a gap. Between for those of our who are our patrons, we were talking about not Castle, the new Castle rookie. So the guy who played Flex Mentallo in the Doom Patrol TV series is one of the bad guy gang leaders right now in the rookie TV series.
He's Mendoza.
He's Ripper.
Ripper. It's almost as good as Mendoza.
Yeah.
Today on my 3 to 18, I just want a quick one. I want your number 18 on this one. Bartenders in Mythical Places. We were talking about this way earlier. I have my signed Isaac. This is going to be the only thing I put in my office just because I want to confuse people. from the Love Boat, because he wasn't 18 when it comes to bartenders. Isaac knew what you wanted. Isaac got it to you. Is there any other 18 out there? I think there's only like one in my book, but anybody else got an 18 bartender in a movie, film, TV?
Well, Sam from Cheers.
He wasn't an 18. He sucked.
Huh?
Did you want him as your bartender? He wasn't going to get you your drink. He wasn't going to get you your drink fast, because if there was a good-looking girl anywhere, she was getting the drink first. He hardly ever served a drink. Now, if you said,
but he hardly ever charged for a drink.
Oh, all right. Sure. You might. That's why he's always losing that bar.
Regular, Norm would just reach over the bar and pour himself a beer anytime, pretty much he damn well wanted. And Norm never paid his bar tab.
And they were always talking about the enormous bar tab that he was running. All right, that's not a bad argument. Okay. For that series, by the way, I always thought Coach was good because Coach was making your drink get it to you quick.
It's true.
I liked Coach. Mikey, I mean, anybody?
Coach was distractible.
Yeah.
My first instinct is to
also get away with not paying your bar tab.
Yeah.
With Coach.
I mean, my first instinct is to say Mo Slezak from The Simpsons.
Yeah.
But I really did love Casper Van Dien in the Con Man series, my fellow co-star, who doesn't know what the podcast is, but God love him. Super friendly. Very nice.
It's like radio, but on the internet, Casper.
Yeah. Plus, Mo's not a great bartender. He stole his best formula ever. He stole from Homer, the Flamin' Mo.
Yeah.
Just saying. Tommy, what do you got over there, buddy?
Still thinking. I'm thinking probably the bartender in that magical bar in the Marvel Universe.
The bar with no name?
Sir? Yeah, the bar with no name. That was Vizier, yeah. The floating head in a jar.
Yeah.
It is amazing that he can make drinks just being a floating head in a jar. I'll give you that.
Exactly.
That's true.
That is cool.
Good job.
Yeah, Nightmaster from the Oblivion Bar.
Huh? Not bad, not bad.
Comics books. Yeah. Wasn't Isaac a robot on Futurama?
He was Isaac. Hey, the Isaac 3000. Also, Guinan on Star Trek, Forward Nine, the bartender there.
Yeah,
she's on The View now.
I think I'm going to go, but...
That wasn't my argument.
I think, Coach, if I got to rate somebody an 18, I think I'm going to give it to Coach, because Coach was the best. He was the heart and soul of Cheers.
It's true. He was the heart and soul of Cheers.
Lost I'm going to play Isaac.
What about Guinan from Next Generation?
That she came up, she was good. Well, what's your argument for her as being number one?
I don't have one. I was trying to think of somebody else, but
Tom Cruise and Cocktail.
Fuck that guy. Quark was one of the worst. he was always trying to dick you out of something.
Yeah, he's not. Yeah, he's not a good bartender. Nah.
Yeah, I mean, he's a good bar owner.
Yeah,
he made money.
You need a CPA to run the books. Quark's your guy.
Yeah.
But as far as behind the bar, he was basically useless. Except in Vegas, where there was – I mean, the Warp Core was a pretty damn good drink.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That was
we actually had drink feedback from a bar, and I'm just saying. That's an argument for it.
All right.
How many – there's no one else. Who else's drinks have you had?
I mean, you can't go with any –
Well, I've had a Screaming Viking.
You've had your version, but we've had a bar, an actual drink from Quark's bar.
It's a good
not
point.
A recipe.
All right. Good argument. I'm going to stick with Isaac. Just because, hey! I guess that's going to just about do it for us. We got some plugs?
I'd like to thank Kirby Crackle for providing our geek rock music every week. You can go to KirbyCracklemusic.com to check him out.
And they've been putting out a couple of free concerts here and there on Facebook, so you can take a look for them out there. They've been doing a little acoustic stuff, and it's been kind of fun.
And let's not forget our friends over at WhosNextGaming.com. You can check out their podcast for everything involving movies, comic books, video games, and sex robots.
Do love me some sex robots.
Let's not forget our friends at Mousketeer Trading Company on Etsy. Oh.
And what do they make?
They make Mousketeer ears and safety masks. Cloth
High
masks.
High quality safety masks.
Yes.
I was wearing my Star Wars mask today.
For every mask that you order, they will donate one to frontline safety workers in hospitals and other nonprofits.
Awesome. And let's not forget our good friends over at GeekOrthodox.com.
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 Hello, Tammy. I ordered a hat this week, and I still haven't gotten it.
I ordered some socks. I owe $1. I just asked for some.
I would just Okay, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I saw this tutorial where you can make a working face mask out of a woman's sock, and it's only like 3 cuts, and I'm thinking, this is awesome for me.
You mean 3 cuts to get her sock off while you're trying to rob it from her on the street? That's, yeah. I mean, as long
as it's on the ground, you're going to cut her foot off.
I thought it was defensive wounds. Yeah. She was trying to, as you were trying to take
I'm just
sock.
Saying, for the first time ever, I can wear a woman's sock on my face and be a hero. And not the pervert that I am.
I would like to
say. So send your socks to the Long Box Guys.
The Long Box Guys. just in honor of our bartenders, making our way in the world today takes everything we've got, and taking a break from all your worries, it really means becoming a Patreon member. So get the extra podcast, go to Patreon, look for the Outside the Long Box Guys, jump in there, and do not forget, as far as I'm concerned, for the next, let's say, to the end of the year, for every extra Patreon member we get, that's $10 to a local food bank from the Long Box Guys. So get in there, Patreon people. Help us out. Help them out. Help the world out. Stay safe. Be good. And that's all I got.
So patreon.com/TheLongBoxGuys. And every dollar that you donate to us, we will also be feeding it over to the local food bank.
Yeah.
And we gave over $900 so far, if you can believe that.
$1,500.
Was it $1,500? Wow, we rock, guys.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And by the way, technically, I was right when I said over $900.
You were correct.
Just saying.
You are correct.
Holy shit, Tom got math right.
Yes. That's why I had to point it out.
That's right. He just prices righted the shit out of us. Yeah. You got it right without going over.
Yeah. You lowball it, sneak in there.
It's true.
That's how I got my wife.
Fucking A.
Josh, your house. Is that your sector still?
I don't really see how I have much of a choice. This is my one and only sector at the moment.
That's your one and only sector. Tommy, sweet, sweet Tommy, any little last words of wisdom for us?
Yeah, I'm holding you accountable, Kentucky. Get rid of that Mitch McConnell. He's a bad egg.
He's a bad egg, I tell you.
It's time for you to pass back and get rid of that bastard.
What are you, a 1940s high-waisted, beer-chested, low-talking...
You got nothing.
Guy? I got nothing.
Yeah, you just... Yeah.
You're a bad egg, Mitch McConnell, I tell you.
Yeah, what definitely for? Not a Dapper Dan, man. You look like you use FOP. Didn't want no FOP. I'm a Dapper Dan, man. One
just
of us
a little
is,
dabble, do you?
LT has sold his soul to the devil, and Josh just and Tom just got baptized. I look like I'm the only unaffiliated Longbox guy.
Why is that so funny? Mikey, what is this podcast like to you?
It's like Drunk History, but for comics. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah,
that's the,
yeah.
That's the ticket.
In an alternate universe, I want all elves to have to speak in this 1920s radio slang. Like, that's how you know they're elves. And don't forget what I always say. Don't just what you hate. Just promote what you love. You live longer. Mikey, for God's sakes, don't forget to cut that part out that we had to cut out. And so long from the long box, guys.
Love you. Bye-bye.
Look, if my good friend LT was in this oven, do you think I would light this match and throw it in there?
Yeah, Mike Roberts. You
might.
You might.